Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Let us prepare to move into the Lord's Word this morning. If you have your Bible with you, if you could turn to Luke, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 18. So just put your thumb in your Bible, and we'll get to there in just a second. This coming Sunday, we are going to begin a three-part series called Community. We're pretty pumped about this. Over that 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about community as we believe the Lord sees it, the importance of being together like this. We're going to talk a little bit about what we believe the Lord is calling us to as His community. We're going to talk about the values of this community. We're going to talk about a lot of things that relate specifically to the direction that we believe the Lord is calling us to. So we're excited. That's going to be over these next three Sundays. So it's going to be a blast, and get ready for the ride. Well, let's open up to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to begin at verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and he ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. I love this passage. This passage to me speaks of life. It speaks of hope. It's a powerful passage. It's short. But God, help us to see your truth in this passage for us today. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and to Passover. And it's likely that Jesus was doing what teachers or rabbis would do when they moved from place to place. And that would be, he would be teaching as he walked. And as he did that, he would be surrounded by those who would follow him, his disciples and other followers. And they would be kind of pushing in to hear the words of Christ. They wouldn't want to miss out on any of the teaching. And something else that happened is, as it was the word spread that a rabbi or a great teacher was coming along, the people in the town would also turn out, and they would kind of line the roadsides, and they didn't want to miss out either. They wanted to pick up on some of the teaching, and that was likely the case here. We just knew that it was pretty crowded. You know, Jesus was pretty well known at this point in his ministry, and it seemed that almost now wherever he went, he would draw a crowd, and that's what happened in this passage. Now, the blind man, who is identified as Bartimaeus in Mark's gospel, well, he would have been dirt poor, and existence would have only been sustainable for him by the favor of others. The word says that he was a beggar. He would have been seen as unimportant in his society, worthy of very little notice at all. And the fact of the matter is that some in his community would have looked down on him because they would have believed that his blindness was a punishment from God for his sin. So there's no question about it. Bartimaeus was at the bottom end of the society strata. But a man is about more than his station in life. And I think this passage gives us an interesting kind of glimpse into the person that Bartimaeus was. Here's something that stands out clearly right from the very beginning. We know that he had already heard about the man who was approaching and his many miracles. When he asked, he was told that who was coming was Jesus the Nazarene. But when Bartimaeus called out to him, he didn't call out to him just simply as a man. He said to him, "Jesus, Son of David." So he knew who this was that was coming. And as soon as he knew who was passing by, Bartimaeus began that shouting. Now, of course, he was blind, so he couldn't see Jesus and run to him. So what he did is he used the best tool that he had possible to get his attention, and that was his voice. And in that moment, he shouts. It's like Bartimaeus decides to step out of that place of being sidelined for all of his life and to risk pursuing hope. To risk pursuing hope. There's something for us to consider here. Isn't it true that knowing who Jesus is one thing, but choosing to pursue him is another? Even while knowing who Jesus was, Bartimaeus might have chosen to stay on the sidelines that day. He could have decided somehow that his pursuit wasn't necessary or helpful. He could have thought, like the rest of the world, that Jesus would have no time for him, that he was unimportant. He was, after all, broken and at the bottom realms of humanity. He could have even let Jesus pass because he thought that what the others said about him was true and that he was being punished by God for some sin in his life. But that wasn't Bartimaeus' choice. That's not what he believed. It wasn't true for him, and it's not true for us either. And so instead of being content with just head knowledge, he began on that day a journey of faith in which he decided intentionally to pursue hope. And it began out with this sort of simple shout out. It was simple but meaningful words that initiated a pursuit of Jesus that would ultimately change his life forever. See, our relationship with Jesus was never meant to be simply about settling in on our knowledge of him. We find that the richness of our relationship, the intimacy with Jesus, comes through our pursuit of who he is. It's not head knowledge, it's heart. Tied to pursuit is a character quality that we see in Bartimaeus, and that was his tenacity. And we see that throughout this passage. You know, at no point in these verses or the corresponding passages of the story, which we can find in Mark and Matthew, does it appear that he was in any way prepared to back down from getting in touch with Jesus. His positioning would have taken some pretty terrific courage, actually. See, for most of his life, he had considered those around him to be stronger than he was and to be somehow better than he was. But what we see here is that on this day, he would push past his fear. He would push past the apparent assignment of life that had been given to him. And he decided that he would even ignore those around him, the world around him, who would tell him to shut up and to stay back and to stay down. It's interesting, but it seems that tenacity is important to Jesus. Throughout the scripture, he seems to respond to a tenacious spirit, and he even calls out to us that we ought to be tenacious in our faith. If you have any doubt about that, you just have to look back a few verses from our passage today at the story that Jesus shares about the persistent widow who pushes this uncaring judge to a fair and proper ruling because she's not going to give up demanding what is right. This is what Jesus says at the end of that story. He says in Luke 18, verse 7, "So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night?" That is tenacity. That is persistence. Will he keep putting them off? And then there was the story of the crippled man who was lowered on a stretcher through the roof of a house. We talked about this story a few weeks ago. This was about tenacity. His friends cut a hole in the roof and they lower this broken man down before the Lord Jesus. And they had to be tenacious to do that. They didn't give up. They saw the big crowd, but they knew that this man needed to see Jesus. And they cut that hole in the roof and they dropped him before the Lord. And ultimately, as was the case with Bartimaeus, the man was healed. Speaking of tenacity, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus himself says this about our pursuit of God and our need to be tenacious. He says, "Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you." It's tenacity. See, tenacity is an expression of our faith that says, I believe and I trust God for the outcome. I'm going to continue to believe and trust God for the outcome, no matter what is happening. And as was the case in Bartimaeus, I'm going to continue to believe that even though I can't see. How often is that what we're called to do? We can't see the future. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're called to be a tenacious people and continue to pursue God and to trust Him for everything. So we see in Bartimaeus, we see pursuit and tenacity. But we also see, along with these strong and courageous attributes, something else. And I think this is really important for us. What we see is desperation. You know, the original Greek in this passage, it actually paints a much clearer picture of the desperation that Bartimaeus was facing. In actual fact, the Greek uses two words to describe the kind of shouting out that he did. The first shouting out, which is in verse 38, it just says he began shouting. And really what the Greek word talks about is that he was just trying to get Jesus' attention. But in the next verse, in verse 39, when it says he shouts louder, the word that describes that kind of shouting isn't the same. It talks about a crying out. It talks about almost an animal kind of cry, almost like a scream. That talks about the kind of desperation that Bartimaeus was feeling. So captured in those shouts is this gritty kind of reality. His circumstances, the circumstances that Bartimaeus found himself, had brought him to this strong point of authenticity. See, Bartimaeus here is being real. He's so real that he doesn't care at all about what the crowds think. He doesn't care that they're telling him to stop. He's desperate. He's beat up and he's broken. And he needs an answer and he needs hope. And there seems to be none. He knows that he needs a Savior. There have been times in my life where I've been in that place of desperation, where I've just felt it so acutely. It's just been strong in me, and it's been a very hard place to be. And I know that in this room, there are lots of stories of people who have been in that place of desperation. And it's not the most comfortable place to be, quite honestly. But I want to suggest today, the desperation is not always a bad thing. In fact, it's desperation that often propels us to the better thing that God has for us. See, Bartimaeus' desperation for Jesus brought about his healing. So it would seem clear that our own desperation in our own lives for Jesus' intervention in us, that kind of desperation can only be a good thing. It can only be a good thing. You see, a spiritual desperation recognizes our real circumstances, and it recognizes our need for a real solution that is outside of us. It's not something that we can conjure up or make happen. The truth is, our comfortable lives can banish the cutting edge of spiritual desperation. You see, what we've done is we've learned to fill our lives with whatever we need to make sure that we don't feel empty, that we don't go without, so we don't know desperation for the answers that are beyond us. And it's in our pursuit of being comfortable, we begin to shield our need for Jesus with other things, with distractions and poor imitations. It's a good thing to find in us a desperation for Jesus. It's a good thing. As I've been moving through this week, I've been asking myself that question. When was the last time I felt desperate for Jesus? When is the last time that I felt that genuine desperation on the inside? It's a good question for us to ask. I want to encourage you to ask yourself that question. This isn't to make us feel guilty. It's simply to just say, do we really feel we need Jesus today?
where is that desperation? And if we can't find that desperation, we need to ask God for it. Create in me a desperate heart. Being desperate for Jesus brings us closer. Being desperate for Jesus propels us to the good things that God has for us. So desperation, pursuit, tenacity, I think they're all bedfellows of a living and a growing faith. It's in those places that God meets us deeply. I want to finish this morning by just turning our attention over to Jesus. Jesus in this story of Bartimaeus. The first thing we know from this story is that Jesus is a man with somewhere to go. He's on his way to an event that would culminate his life. He's on his way to Jerusalem and a Passover meal that would be his last with his disciples. The journey of the cross is just ahead of him. So on that day, Jesus was a man on a world-changing mission. There were things that had to be done, and there were places that he needed to be and people that he needed to talk to. He was a man on a mission. And it was the shout of a man that altered his course in that moment. It was a shout for help. Scripture says Jesus stopped. You see, in that moment, Jesus knew the pursuit of Bartimaeus. He experienced his tenacious spirit as he tried to break through. Jesus saw his desperation, and it was enough. It was enough for Jesus to stop the parade. Verse 40 says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and he ordered that the man be brought to him. Jesus stopped for him. See, this moment in which Jesus stops to help one man among many is a strong reminder for us of the very personal nature of his mission. Jesus knew, and he worked very well with crowds. We can see that from the scriptures. And his mission absolutely was global, but it was never at the expense of one. Never. You know, it can be so easy for us to make Jesus unrelatable, to consider his risen, majestic nature sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And it's so easy for us to believe that somehow he is way up there and we somehow don't deserve or merit any of his attention at all, that he's not going to touch our lives because we are so small. That somehow in the scheme of things, we're so small and so insignificant, maybe so sinful, that we can't anticipate that Jesus will care enough about us to touch our lives. But see, nothing could be further from the truth than that. And we can learn from this account that Jesus desires to stop the parade and touch our lives. He desires to do that today. Matthew 7, verse 8 says, for everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus stands ready to hear our shout out to him. It's a promise, and it's life-changing for us. Verse 40 says, as the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And Lord, he said, I want to see. I want to see. We need to see here that each step that blind Bartimaeus makes is a great step of faith. He's blind, and yet he comes near to Jesus. He moves forward in his darkness. You got to remember this, that Bartimaeus based his shout out to Jesus on what he had heard about him, not what he had personally experienced. And so every step forward for him was a step of faith. You may be here today, and you may be in a similar place. You know that there is something to this Jesus. You see him as an historical figure. You know that part is true. But you're here and you're searching for a truth that goes beyond that. And you sense today that Jesus is not far away. You can feel his presence. So Bartimaeus took steps of faith in this story, and that is the whole point. In those steps of faith, he moves from his darkness, and he moves into light. And that is the very point of the story for you today. If you are in that place of spiritually searching for truth, for who Jesus is, his desire is for you to step from that place by faith into the light and the life that he has for you. So later in this passage, we see that Jesus breaks the tension with a question. And he says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Well, Bartimaeus would have been used to being a beggar, asking for food or for money. But this time he knows that he needs something more. Coins and bread actually might have been an easier ask for him. It probably would have been fairly guaranteed. But that was in the past for him, and he would miss the point of Jesus coming. He would miss this opportunity that was kind of this, for him, a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal that Jesus would be coming through at that point. And so today, he believed that the Son of Man was before him, and that more was possible from this man than from anyone else he'd ever met before. And he says, I want to see. I want to see. This is a simple question, but it's born out of pursuit for truth. It's born out of tenacity, desiring to be close to Jesus. And it's born out of his desperation. And now it comes from his faith, initial steps of faith forward. You know, virtually every believer begins their relationship with Jesus with similar steps of faith. Bartimaeus began with a simple decision to declare Jesus as Jesus by faith. And it was a declaration that was followed by an honest assessment of his own brokenness and his need for the mercy of God. That's what he called out to him for. And then there were the steps. And they were probably hesitant at first, maybe a little unsure, but they were nonetheless steps forward to meet a real live Savior who cared enough to stop and to listen. It's been said that with faith, it always gets the attention of the Son of Man. And we see wonderfully here that Jesus stopped and he responded. Verse 42, Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. When God touches us, there's a bit of a spillout that occurs with those who are around us. So like I said at the beginning, this narrative, I have always loved it. I love it because it speaks to many of us in so many different levels. There is that great encouragement that I was just talking about for those who are on a spiritual journey. And find themselves in a place of just needing to step out in faith and believe. See, in this passage, we can see that all it takes is an honest cry before the Lord, an authentic sense of our own brokenness and our expressed need of kind of a soul repair to say, Lord, I want to see you. And in the midst of that place, because we shouted out to Jesus, he meets us personally and powerfully. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to know today, he won't go by. He won't just keep on going. He won't ignore you. His desire is to touch you and transform you today. That's what he desires to do. He'll stop everything for you. Everything. I'd encourage you, even now, in this moment, if you don't know who Jesus is, to consider asking him into your life. At the end of this message, I'm going to be here, and if I can help you with that decision, talk to you a little bit more about it, I would be more than happy to do it. I want to encourage you today to be as Bartimaeus was and to take that step of faith, just to believe, just to know that it's more than this, it's about this, and that Jesus is there. He stopped for you. He's saying, come on. The story also talks to those of us who are believers. It raises some good points, some questions I've already asked. I think these are important for us, particularly church, as we consider going into this year ahead and all that Jesus has for us and what he's calling us to. And we're going to be talking about that more in our community series over the next 3 weeks. But here are some points for us to consider. Number one, are we in a place of pursuing Jesus? Are we in a place of pursuing Jesus? Two, are we tenacious in our pursuit? Are we unprepared to give up even when it gets hard? Are we tenacious as we pursue Jesus? Tenacious in our faith? And three, are we desperate for a deeper relationship with him? Do we today see our very real need for him? Important questions. The good news in all of this, of course, is that as we pursue Jesus, we find out that he is pursuing us. And he himself is tenacious in that pursuit. And the good news is that when we are tenacious, when we believe with faith for what God has for us, God will bless that. He desires for us to keep on going. He calls us on not to give up. And God blesses that kind of faith. That's good news for us. And the good news is that Jesus always responds to a desperate voice because he knows the emptiness inside of us better than we do. And when we acknowledge that and when we're real and we bring it before him, he's always there. He is always there. He stops for us. Would you stand up, everybody? Let me just pray for you. Here's my prayer for us this year. May we be a people who are prepared to step out from the roadside. May we be a people who are prepared by faith to step out from the roadside, to step out from places of comfort, places where we have just grown maybe to not be so desperate. May we be a people who are tenacious enough to say, I am going forward no matter what. And we get into that place, God just moves. He touches us and he changes us and he helps us as he uses us to transform a world around us. Oh God, thank you for your word and your truth in this word. We pray, Lord, that we would be a people of pursuit, a people of tenacity, a people desperate for you and for your touch. Oh God, help us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness that as we shout out, God, as we present our needs before you, as we present ourselves as just who we are, you're right there. You stop the parade for us. Oh, God, that is so incredibly amazing. So we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for the one today that maybe is just on the sidelines, the one that has not yet made a decision for you. I pray today would be the day. Today would be the day of stepping out from that place of not being able to see you through that blindness, but and then to move into the light by faith and all that it is that you have, oh God, such good stuff ahead. Lord Jesus, give them strength and courage today to make the step. We give you thanks for an incredible day. Thank you because you're an incredible God. In your name we pray. And as people said, amen, amen. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you this coming Sunday as we jump into our community series.